Part 5 Friday, April 1, 1743. I rode to Conemaugh, near 20 miles from Stockbridge, where the Indians live with whom I am concerned, and there lodged on a little heap of straw. I was greatly exercised with inward trials and distresses all day. And in the evening, my heart was sunk, and I seemed to have no God to go to. Oh, that God would help me! The next 5 days he was for the most part in a dejected, depressed state of mind, and sometimes extremely so. He speaks of God's waves and billows rolling over his soul, and of his being ready sometimes to say, "Surely his mercy is clean gone forever, and he will be favorable no more," and says, "The anguish he endured was nameless and inconceivable," but at the same time speaks thus concerning his distresses, "What God designs by all my distresses I know not. But this I know, I deserve them all and thousands more." He gives an account of the Indians kindly receiving him, and being seriously attentive to his instructions. Thursday, April 7th. Appeared to myself exceeding ignorant, weak, helpless, unworthy, and altogether unequal to my work. It seemed to me I should never do any service or have any success among the Indians. My soul was weary of my life. I longed for death beyond measure. When I thought of any godly soul departed, my soul was ready to envy him his privilege, thinking, "Oh, when will my turn come? Must it be years first?" But I know, these ardent desires, at this and other times, rose partly for want of resignation to God under all miseries. And so were but impatience. Towards night, I had the exercise of faith and prayer, and some assistance in writing. Oh, that God would keep me near him! Friday, April 8th. Was exceedingly pressed under a sense of my pride, selfishness, bitterness, and party spirit, in times past, while attempted to promote the cause of God. Its vile nature and dreadful consequences appeared in such odious colors to me, that my very heart was pained. I saw how poor souls stumbled over it into everlasting destruction, that I was constrained to make that prayer in the bitterness of my soul, "O Lord, deliver me from blood guiltiness." I saw my desert of hell on this account. My soul was full of inward anguish and shame before God, that I had spent so much time in conversation tending only to promote a party spirit. Oh, I saw I had not suitably prized mortification, self-denial, resignation under all adversities, meekness, love, candor, and holiness of heart and life, and this day was almost wholly spent in such bitter and soul-afflicting reflections on my past frames and conduct. Of late I had thought much of having the kingdom of Christ advanced in the world. But now I had enough to do within myself. The Lord be merciful to me a sinner, and wash my soul. Saturday, April 9th. Remained much in the same state as yesterday, excepting that the sense of my vileness was not so quick and acute. Lord's Day, April 10th. Rose early in the morning, and walked out, and spent a considerable time in the woods, in prayer and meditation. Preached to the Indians, both forenoon and afternoon. They behaved soberly in general. Two or three in particular appeared under some religious concern, with whom I discoursed privately. And one told me, her heart had cried, ever since she heard me preach first. The next day, he complains of much desertion. Tuesday, April 12th. Was greatly oppressed with grief and shame, reflecting on my past conduct, my bitterness and party zeal. I was ashamed to think that such a wretch as I had ever preached. Longed to be excused from that work. And when my soul was not in anguish and keen distress, I felt senseless as a beast before God, and felt a kind of guilty amusement with the least trifles, which still maintained a kind of stifled horror of conscience, so that I could not rest any more than a condemned malefactor. Wednesday, April 13th. My heart was overwhelmed within me. I verily thought I was the meanest, vilest, most helpless, guilty, ignorant, benighted creature living. And yet I knew what God had done for my soul, at the same time though sometimes I was assaulted with damping doubts and fears, whether it was possible for such a wretch as I to be in a state of grace. Thursday, April 14th. Remained much in the same state as yesterday. Friday, April 15th in the forenoon, very disconsolate. In the afternoon, preached to my people, and was a little encouraged in some hopes that God might bestow mercy on their souls. Felt somewhat resigned to God under all dispensations of His providence. Saturday, April 16th. Still in the depths of distress in the afternoon, preached to my people. But was more discouraged with them than before. Feared that nothing would ever be done for them to any happy effect. I retired and poured out my soul to God for mercy. But without any sensible relief. Soon after came an Irishman and a Dutchman, with a design, as they said, to hear me preach the next day. But none can tell how I felt, to hear their profane talk. Oh, I longed that some dear Christian knew my distress. I got into a kind of hovel, and there groaned out my complaint to God. And withal felt more sensible gratitude and thankfulness to God, that He had made me to differ from these men, as I knew through grace He had. Lord's Day, April 17th in the morning was again distressed as soon as I waked, hearing much talk about the world and the things of it. I perceived the men were in some measure afraid of me. And I discoursed something about sanctifying the Sabbath, if possible to solemnize their minds, but when they were at a little distance, they again talked freely about secular affairs. Oh, I thought what a hell it would be, to live with such men to eternity. The Lord gave me some assistance in preaching, all day, and some resignation, and a small degree of comfort in prayer at night. He continued in this disconsolate frame the next day. Tuesday, April 19th in the morning I enjoyed some sweet repose and rest in God. Felt some strength and confidence in Him. And my soul was in some measure refreshed and comforted. Spent most of the day in writing, and had some exercise of grace, sensible and comfortable. My soul seemed lifted above the deep waters, wherein it has been so long almost drowned. Felt some spiritual longings and breathings of soul after God. And found myself engaged for the advancement of Christ's kingdom in my own soul. Wednesday, April 20th. Set apart this day for fasting and prayer, to bow my soul before God for the bestowment of divine grace. Especially that all my spiritual afflictions and inward distresses might be sanctified to my soul. And endeavored also to remember the goodness of God to me the year past, this day being my birthday. Having obtained help of God, I have hitherto lived, and am now arrived at the age of 25 years. My soul was pained to think of my barrenness and deadness. That I have lived so little to the glory of the eternal God. I spent the day in the woods alone, and there poured out my complaint to God. Oh, that God would enable me to live to His glory for the future. Thursday, April 21st. Spent the forenoon in reading and prayer, and found myself engaged. But still much depressed in spirit under a sense of my vileness and unfitness for any public service in the afternoon, I visited my people, and prayed and conversed with some about their souls' concerns. And afterwards found some ardor of soul in secret prayer. Oh, that I might grope into the likeness of God. Friday, April 22nd. Spent the day in study, reading, and prayer. And felt a little relieved of my burden, that has been so heavy of late. But still was in some measure oppressed. And had a sense of barrenness. Oh, my leanness testifies against me. My very soul abhors itself for its unlikeness to God, its inactivity and sluggishness. When I have done all, alas, what an unprofitable servant am I! My soul groans, to see the hours of the day roll away, because I do not fill them in spirituality and heavenly mindedness. And yet I long they should speed their pace, to hasten me to my eternal home, where I may fill up all my moments, through eternity, for God and His glory. On Saturday and Lord's Day, his melancholy again prevailed. He complained of his ignorance, stupidity, and senselessness. While yet he seems to have spent the time with the utmost diligence, in study, in prayer, in instructing and counseling the Indians. On Monday he sunk into the deepest melancholy, so that he supposed he never spent a day in such distress in his life. Not in fears of hell, which, he says, he had no pressing fear of, but a distressing sense of his own vileness, etc. On Tuesday, he expresses some relief. Wednesday he kept as a day of fasting and prayer, but in great distress. The 3 days next following his melancholy continued, but in a less degree, and with intervals of comfort. Lord's Day, May 1st. Was at Stockbridge today in the forenoon, had some relief and assistance, though not so much as usual. In the afternoon felt poorly in body and soul. While I was preaching, seemed to be rehearsing idle tales, without the least life, fervor, sense, or comfort. And especially afterwards, at the sacrament, my soul was filled with confusion, and the utmost anguish that ever I endured, under the feeling of my inexpressible vileness and meanness. It was a most bitter and distressing season to me, by reason of the view I had of my own heart, and the secret abominations that lurked there. I thought the eyes of all in the house were upon me, and I dared not look anyone in the face. For it verily seemed as if they saw the vileness of my heart, and all the sins I had ever been guilty of. And if I had been banished from the presence of all mankind, never to be seen any more, or so much as thought of, still I should have been distressed with shame. And I should have been ashamed to see the most barbarous people on earth, because I was viler, and seemingly more brutishly ignorant, than they. I am made to possess the sense of my youth. The remaining days of this week were spent, for the most part, in inward distress and gloominess. The next Sabbath, he had encouragement, assistance, and comfort. But on Monday sunk again. Tuesday, May 10th, was in the same state, as to my mind, that I have been in for some time. Extremely pressed with a sense of guilt, pollution, and blindness, the iniquity of my heels have compassed me about. The sins of my youth have been set in order before me. They have gone over my head, as a heavy burden, too heavy for me to bear. Almost all the actions of my life past seem to be covered over with sin and guilt. And those of them that I performed in the most conscientious manner, now fill me with shame and confusion, that I cannot hold up my face. Oh! The pride, selfishness, hypocrisy, ignorance, bitterness, party zeal, and the want of love, candor, meekness, and gentleness, that have attended my attempts to promote religion and virtue. And this when I have reason to hope I had real assistance from above, and some sweet intercourse with heaven. But, alas, what corrupt mixtures attended my best duties! The next 7 days his gloom and distress continued for the most part, but he had some turns of relief and spiritual comfort. He gives an account of his spending part of this time in hard labor, to build himself a little cottage to live in amongst the Indians, in which he might be by himself. Having, it seems, hitherto lived with a poor Scotchman, as he observes in the letter just now referred to. And afterwards, before his own house was habitable, lived in a wigwam among the Indians. Wednesday, May 18th. My circumstances are such, that I have no comfort, of any kind, but what I have in God. I live in the most lonesome wilderness. Have but one single person to converse with, that can speak English. Most of the talk I hear, is either Highland Scotch or Indian. I have no fellow Christian to whom I might unbosom myself, or lay open my spiritual sorrows, with whom I might take sweet counsel in conversation about heavenly things, and join in social prayer. I live poorly with regard to the comforts of life. Most of my diet consists of boiled corn, hasty pudding, etc. I lodge on a bundle of straw, my labor is hard and extremely difficult, and I have little appearance of success to comfort me. The Indians have no land to live on but what the Dutch people lay claim to, and these threaten to drive them off. They have no regard to the souls of the poor Indians. And, by what I can learn, they hate me, because I come to preach to them. But that which makes all my difficulties grievous to be borne, is, that God hides his face from me. Thursday, May 19th. Spent most of this day in close studies, but was sometimes so distressed that I could think of nothing but my spiritual blindness, ignorance, pride, and misery. Oh, I have reason to make the prayer, Lord, forgive my sins of youth, and former trespasses. Friday, May 20th. Was much perplexed some part of the day, but towards night, had some comfortable meditations on Isaiah 41. Comfort ye, etc. and enjoyed some sweetness in prayer. Afterwards my soul rose so far above the deep waters, that I dared to rejoice in God. I saw there was sufficient matter of consolation in the blessed God. The next 9 days his burdens were for the most part alleviated, but with variety. At sometimes having considerable consolation, and at others, more depressed. The next day, Monday, May 30th, he set out on a journey to New Jersey, to consult the commissioners who employed him about the affairs of his mission. He performed his journey thither in 4 days, and arrived at Mr. Burr's Newark on Thursday. In great part of his journey, he was in the depths of melancholy, under distresses like those already mentioned. On Friday he rode to Elizabethtown and on Saturday to New York, and from thence on his way homewards as far as White Plains. There he spent the Sabbath, and had considerable degrees of divine consolation and assistance in public services. On Monday he rode about 60 miles to New Haven. There he attempted a reconciliation with the authority of the college, and spent this week in visiting his friends in those parts, and in his journey homewards, till Saturday, in a pretty comfortable frame of mind. On Saturday, in his way from Stockbridge to Conemaugh, he was lost in the woods, and lay all night in the open air, but happily found his way in the morning, and came to his Indians on Lord's Day, June 12th, and had greater assistance in preaching among them than ever before, since his first coming among them. From this time forward he was the subject of various frames and exercises of mind in the general, much after the same manner as hitherto, from his first coming to Conemaugh till he got into his own house, a little hut, which he made chiefly with his own hands, by long and hard labor, which was near 7 weeks from this time. Great part of the space of time, he was dejected, and depressed with melancholy, sometimes extremely. His melancholy operating in like manner as related in times past how it was with him in those dark seasons, he himself further describes in his diary for July 2nd, in the following manner. My soul is, and has for a long time been, in a piteous condition, wading through a series of sorrows, of various kinds. I have been so crushed down sometimes with a sense of my meanness and infinite unworthiness, that I have been ashamed that any, even the meanest of my fellow creatures, should so much as spend a thought about me, and have wished sometimes, while traveling among the thick brakes, to drop, as one of them, into everlasting oblivion. In this case, sometimes, I have almost resolved never again to see any of my acquaintance, and really thought I could not do it and hold up my face, and have longed for the remotest region, for a retreat from all my friends, that I might not be seen or heard of any more. Sometimes the consideration of my ignorance has been a means of my great distress and anxiety, and especially my soul has been in anguish with fear, shame, and guilt, that ever I had preached, or had any thought that way. Sometimes my soul has been in distress on feeling some particular corruptions rise and swell like a mighty torrent, with present violence, having, at the same time, 10,000 former sins and follies presented to view, in all their blackness and aggravations. And these, while destitute of most of the conveniencies of life, and I may say, of all the pleasures of it, without a friend to communicate any of my sorrows to, and sometimes without any place of retirement, where I may unburden my soul before God, which has greatly contributed to my distress. Of late, more especially, my great difficulty has been a sort of carelessness, a kind of regardless temper of mind, whence I have been disposed to indolence and trifling, and this temper of mind has constantly been attended with guilt and shame, so that sometimes I have been in a kind of horror, to find myself so unlike the blessed God. I have thought I grew worse under all my trials, and nothing has cut and wounded my soul more than this. Oh, if I am one of God's chosen, as I trust through infinite grace I am, I find of a truth, that the righteous are scarcely saved. It is apparent, that one main occasion of that distressing gloominess of mind which he was so much exercised with at Conemaugh, was reflection on his past errors and misguided zeal at college, in the beginning of the late religious commotions. And therefore he repeated his endeavors this year for reconciliation with the governors of the college, whom he had at that time offended. Although he had been at New Haven, in June, this year, and attempted a reconciliation, as mentioned already, yet, in the beginning of July, he made another journey thither, and renewed his attempt, but still in vain. although he was much dejected great part of that space of time which I am now speaking of. Yet he had many intermissions of his melancholy, and some seasons of comfort, sweet tranquility, and resignation of mind, and frequent special assistance in public services, as appear in his diary. The manner of his relief from his sorrow, once in particular, is worthy to be mentioned in his own words, diary for July 25th. Had little or no resolution for a life of holiness. Was ready almost to renounce my hopes of living to God. And oh how dark it looked, to think of being unholy forever. This I could not endure. The cry of my soul was, Psalm 65:3. Iniquities prevail against me. But was in some measure relieved by a comfortable meditation on God's eternity, that he never had a beginning, etc. Whence I was led to admire his greatness and power, etc. in such a manner, that I stood still, and praised the Lord for his own glories and perfections. Though I was and if I should forever be an unholy creature, my soul was comforted to apprehend an eternal, infinite, powerful, holy God. Saturday, July 30th. Just at night, moved into my own house, and lodged there that night. Found it much better spending the time alone, than in the wigwam where I was before. Lord's Day, July 31st. Felt more comfortably than some days past. Blessed be the Lord, who has now given me a place of retirement. Oh, that I might find God in it, and that he would dwell with me forever. Monday, August 1st. Was still busy in further labors on my house. Felt a little of the sweetness of religion, and thought it was worth the while to follow after God through 1,000 snares, deserts, and death itself. Oh, that I might always follow after holiness, that I may be fully conformed to God. Had some degree of sweetness, in secret prayer, though I had much sorrow. Tuesday, August 2nd. Was still laboring to make myself more comfortable, with regard to my house and lodging. Labored under spiritual anxiety. It seemed to me, I deserved to be kicked out of the world. Yet found some comfort in committing my cause to God. It is good for me to be afflicted, that I may die wholly to this world, and all that is in it. Wednesday, August 3rd. Spent most of the day in writing. Enjoyed some sense of religion. Through divine goodness I am now uninterruptedly alone. And find my retirement comfortable. I have enjoyed more sense of divine things within a few days last past, than for some time before. I longed after holiness, humility, and meekness. Oh, that God would enable me to pass the time of my sojourning here in his fear, and always live to him. Thursday, August 4th. Was enabled to pray much, through the whole day. And through divine goodness found some intenseness of soul in the duty, as I used to do, and some ability to persevere in my supplications. I had some apprehensions of divine things, that were engaging, and which afforded me some courage and resolution. It is good, I find, to persevere in attempts to pray, if I cannot pray with perseverance, 1e. Continue long in my addresses to the divine being. I have generally found, that the more I do in secret prayer, the more I heave delighted to do, and have enjoyed more of a spirit of prayer and frequently have found the contrary, when with journeying or otherwise I have been much deprived of retirement. A seasonable, steady performance of secret duties in their proper hours, and a careful improvement of all time, filling up every hour with some profitable labor, either of heart, head, or hands, are excellent means of spiritual peace and boldness before God. Christ, indeed, is our peace, and by him we have boldness of access to God. But a good conscience void of offense is an excellent preparation for an approach into the divine presence. There is difference between self-confidence or a self-righteous pleasing of ourselves as with our own duties, attainments, and spiritual enjoyments which godly souls sometimes are guilty of, and that holy confidence arising from the testimony of a good conscience, which good Hezekiah had, when he says, Remember, O Lord, I beseech thee, how I have walked before thee in truth, and with a perfect heart. Then says the holy psalmist, Shall I not be ashamed, when I have respect to all thy commandments? Filling up our time with and for God, is the way to rise up and lie down in peace. The next 8 days he continued for the most part in a very comfortable frame, having his mind fixed and sweetly engaged in religion. and more than once blesses God that he had given him a little cottage, where he might live alone, and enjoy a happy retirement, free from noise and disturbance, and could at any hour of the day lay aside all studies, and spend time in lifting up his soul to God for spiritual blessings. Saturday, August 13th. Was enabled in secret prayer to raise my soul to God, with desire and delight. It was indeed a blessed season to my soul. I found the comfort of being a Christian, and counted the sufferings of the present life not worthy to be compared with the glory of divine enjoyments even in this world. All my past sorrows seemed kindly to disappear, and I remembered no more the sorrow, for joy. Oh, how kindly, and with a filial tenderness, the soul confides in the Rock of Ages, at such a season, that he will never leave it, nor forsake it, that he will cause all things to work together for its good, etc. I longed that others should know how good a God the Lord is. My soul was full of tenderness and love, even to the most inveterate of my enemies. I longed they should share in the same mercy and love that God should do just as he pleased with me and everything else. I felt exceeding serious, calm, and peaceful, and encouraged to press after holiness as long as I live, whatever difficulties and trials may be in my way. May the Lord always help me so to do. Amen, and amen. Lord's Day, August 14th. I had much more freedom in public than in private. God enabled me to speak with some feeling sense of divine things, but perceived no considerable effect. Monday, August 15th. Spent most of the day in labor, to procure something to keep my horse on in the winter. Enjoyed not much sweetness in the morning, was very weak in body through the day, and thought this flail body would soon drop into the dust. Had some very realizing apprehensions of a speedy entrance into another world. And in this weak state of body, I was not a little distressed for want of suitable food. I had no bread, nor could I get any. I am forced to go or send 10 or 15 miles for all the bread I eat. And sometimes it is moldy and sour before I eat it, if I get any considerable quantity. Aced then again I have none for 40 days together, for want of an opportunity to send for it, and cannot find my horse in the woods to go myself. And this was my case now, but through divine goodness I had some Indian meal, of which I made little cakes, and fried them. Yet felt contented with my circumstances, and sweetly resigned to God in prayer. I enjoyed great freedom, and blessed God as much for my present circumstances, as if I had been a king, and thought I found a disposition to be contented in any circumstances. Blessed be God. The rest of this week he was exceeding weak in body, and much exercised with pain, yet obliged from day to labor hard, to procure fodder for his horse. Except some part of the time, he was so very ill, that he was neither able to work nor study, but speaks of longings after holiness and perfect conformity to God. He complains of enjoying but little of God. Yet he says, that little was better to him than all the world. Besides, in his diary for Saturday, he says, he was somewhat melancholy and sorrowful in mind. And adds, I never feel comfortably, but when I find my soul going forth after God, if I cannot be holy, I must necessarily be miserable forever. Lord's Day, August 21st. Was much straitened in the forenoon exercise. My thoughts seemed to be all scattered to the ends of the earth. At noon, I fell down before the Lord, groaned under my vileness, barrenness, ace deadness, and felt as if I was guilty of soul murder, in speaking to immortal souls in such a manner as I had then done. In the afternoon, God was pleased to give me some assistance, and I was enabled to set before my hearers the nature and necessity of true repentance, etc. Afterwards, had some small degree of thankfulness. Was very ill and full of pain in the evening. And my soul mourned that I had spent so much time to so little profit. Monday, August 22nd. Spent most of the day in study. And found my bodily strength in the measure restored. Had some intense and passionate breathings of soul after holiness, and very clear manifestations of my utter inability to procure, or work it in myself. It is wholly owing to the power of God. Oh, with what tenderness the love and desire of holiness fills the soul! I wanted to wing out of myself to God, or rather to get a conformity to him, but, alas, I cannot add to my stature in grace one cubit. However, my soul can never leave striving for it, or at least groaning that it cannot strive for it, and obtain more purity of heart. At night I spend some time in instructing my poor people. Oh, that God would pity their souls! Tuesday, August 23rd. Studied in the forenoon, and enjoyed some freedom in the afternoon, labored abroad in devoir to pray, but found not much sweetness or intenseness of mind. Towards night, was very weary, and tired of this world of sorrow. The thoughts of death and immortality appeared very desirable, and even refreshed my soul. Those lines turned in my mind with pleasure: "Come, death, shake hands, I'll kiss thy bands, 'tis happiness for me to die." What? Dost thou think that I will shrink? I'll go to immortality. In evening prayer God was pleased to draw near my soul, though very sinful and unworthy, was enabled to wrestle with God, and to persevere in my requests for grace. I poured out my soul for all the world, friends, and enemies. My soul was concerned, not so much for souls as such, but rather for Christ's kingdom, that it might appear in the world, that God might be known to be God in the whole earth. And, oh, my soul abhorred the very thought of a party in religion. Let the truth of God appear, wherever it is, and God have the glory forever. Amen. This was indeed a comfortable season. I thought I had some small taste of, and real relish for, the enjoyments and employments of the upper world. Oh, that my soul was more tempered to it! Wednesday, August 24th. Spent some time in the morning in study and prayer. Afterwards was engaged in some necessary business abroad. Towards night, found a little time for some particular studies. I thought if God should say, "Cease making any provision for this life, for you shall in a few days go out of time into eternity," my soul would leap for joy. Oh, that I may both desire to be dissolved, to be with Christ, and likewise wait patiently all the days of my appointed time till my change come. But, alas! I am very unfit for the business and blessedness of heaven. Oh, for more holiness! Thursday, August 25th. Part of the day, was engaged in studies, and part in labor abroad. I find it is impossible to enjoy peace and tranquility of mind without a careful improvement of time. This is really an imitation of God and Christ Jesus. "My Father worketh hitherto, and I work," says our Lord. But still, if we would be like God, we must see that we fill up our time for Him. I daily long to dwell in perfect light and love. In the meantime, my soul mourns that I make so little progress in grace and preparation for the world of blessedness. I see and know that I am a very barren tree in God's vineyard, and that He might justly say, "Cut it down," etc. Oh, that God would make me more lively and vigorous in grace, for His own glory. Amen. The two next days he was much engaged in some necessary labors, in which he extremely spent himself. He seems these days to have had a great sense of the vanity of the world, continued longings after holiness, and more fervency of spirit in the service of God. Lord's Day, August 28th. Was much perplexed with some irreligious Dutchmen. All their discourse turned upon the things of the world, which was no small exercise to my mind. Oh, what a hell it would be to spend an eternity with such men! Well might David say, "I beheld the transgressors, and was grieved." But adored be God, heaven is a place into which no unclean thing enters. Oh, I long for the holiness of that world. Lord, prepare me for it. The next day he set out on a journey to New York. Was somewhat dejected the two first days of his journey, but yet seems to have enjoyed some degrees of the sensible presence of God. Wednesday, August 31st. Rode down to Bethlehem, was in a sweet, serious, and, I hope, Christian frame, when I came there. Eternal things engrossed all my thoughts, and I longed to be in the world of spirits. Oh, how happy is it to have all our thoughts swallowed up in that world! To feel oneself a serious, considerate stranger in this world, diligently seeking a road through it, the best, the sure road to the heavenly Jerusalem. Thursday, September 1st. Rode to Danbury. was more dull and dejected in spirit than yesterday. Indeed, I always feel comfortably when God realizes death, and the things of this world, to my mind whenever my mind is taken off from the things of this world, and set on God, my soul is then at rest. He went forward on his journey, and came to New York on the next Monday. And after tarrying there 2 or 3 days, he set out from the city towards New Haven, intending to be there at the commencement. And on Friday came to Horse Neck. In the meantime, he complains much of dullness, and want of fervor in religion, but yet, from time to time, speaks of his enjoying spiritual warmth and sweetness in conversation with Christian friends, assistance in public services, etc. Saturday, September 10th. Rode 6 miles to Stanwyck, and preached to a considerable assembly of people. Had some assistance and freedom, especially towards the close. Indeed, worked much afterwards, in private conversation, to establish holiness, humility, meekness, etc. as the essence of true religion. And to moderate some noisy sort of persons, that appeared to me to be acted by unseen spiritual pride. Alas, what extremes men incline to run into! Returned to Horse Neck, and felt some seriousness and sweet solemnity in the evening. Lord's Day, September 11th in the afternoon I preached from Titus 3:8. This is a faithful saying, and these things, etc. I think God never helped me more in painting true religion, and in detecting clearly, and tenderly discountenancing, false appearances of religion, wildfire party zeal, spiritual pride, etc. as well as a confident dogmatical spirit, and its spring, namely ignorance of the heart. In the evening took much pains in private conversation to suppress some confusions that I perceived were amongst that people. Monday, September 12th. Rode to Mr. Mills's at Ripton. Had some perplexing hours. But was some part of the day very comfortable. It is through great trials, I see, that we must enter the gates of paradise. If my soul could but be holy, that God might not be dishonored, methinks I could bear sorrows. Tuesday, September 13th. Rode to New Haven. Was sometimes dejected. Not in the sweetest frame. Lodged at. Had some profitable Christian conversation, etc. I find, though my inward trials were great, and a life of solitude gives them greater advantage to settle, and penetrate to the very inmost recesses of the soul. Yet it is better to be alone, than encumbered with noise and tumult. I find it very difficult maintaining any sense of divine things while removing from place to place, diverted with new objects, and filled with care and business. A settled steady business is best adapted to a life of strict religion. Wednesday, September 14th. This day I ought to have taken my degree. But God sees fit to deny it me. And though I was greatly afraid of being overwhelmed with perplexity and confusion, when I should see my classmates take theirs. Yet, at the very time, God enabled me with calmness and resignation to say, "The will of the Lord be done." Indeed, through divine goodness, I have scarcely felt my mind so calm, sedate, and comfortable for some time. I have long feared this season, and expected my humility, meekness, patience, and resignation would be much tried, but found much more pleasure and divine comfort than I expected. Felt spiritually, serious, tender, and affectionate in private prayer with a dear Christian friend today. Thursday, September 15th. Had some satisfaction in hearing the minister's discourse, etc. It is always a comfort to me to hear religious and spiritual discourse. Oh, that ministers and people were more spiritual and devoted to God! Towards night, with the advice of Christian friends, I offered the following reflections in writing to the rector and trustees of the college, which are for substance the same that I had freely offered to the rector before, and entreated him to accept that if possible I might cut off all occasion of offense from those who seek occasion. What I offered is as follows, whereas I have said before several persons, concerning Mr. Whittlesey, one of the tutors of Yale College, that I did not believe he had any more grace than the chair I then leaned upon, I humbly confess that herein I have sinned against God, and acted contrary to the rules of his word, and have injured Mr. Whittlesey. I had no right to make thus free with his character, and had no just reason to say as I did concerning him. My fault herein was the more aggravated, in that I said this concerning one that was so much my superior, and one that I was obliged to treat with special respect and honor, by reason of the relation I stood in to him in the college. Such a manner of behavior, I confess, did not become a Christian. It was taking too much upon me, and did not savor of that humble respect that I ought to have expressed towards Mr. Whittlesey. I have long since been convinced of the falseness of those apprehensions, by which I then justified such a conduct. I have often reflected on this act with grief. I hope, on account of the sin of it, and am willing to lie low, and be abased before God and man for it, and humbly ask the forgiveness of the governors of the college, and of the whole society, but of M.R. Whittlesey in particular. And whereas I have been accused by one person of saying concerning the Reverend Rector of Yale College, that I wondered he did not expect to drop down dead for fining the scholars that followed Mr. Tennant to Milford, I seriously profess that I do not remember my saying anything to this purpose. But if I did, which I am not certain I did not, I utterly condemn it, and detest all such kind of behavior, and especially in an undergraduate towards the rector. And I now appear to judge and condemn myself for going once to the separate meeting in New Haven, a little before I was expelled, though the rector had refused to give me leave. For this I humbly ask the rector's forgiveness. And whether the governors of the college shall ever see cause to remove the academical censure I lie under, or no, or to admit me to the privileges I desire. Yet I am willing to appear, if they think fit, openly to own, and to humble myself for, those things I have herein confessed. God has made me willing to do anything that I can do, consistent with truth, for the sake of peace, and that I might not be a stumbling block to others. For this reason I can cheerfully forego, and give up, what I verily believe, after the most mature and impartial search, is my right, in some instances. God has given me that disposition, that, if this were the case, that a man has done me 100 injuries, and I though ever so much provoked to it have done him one, I feel disposed, and heartily willing, humbly to confess my fault to him, and on my knees to ask forgiveness of him. Though at the same time he should justify himself in all the injuries he has done me, and should only make use of my humble confession to blacken my character the more, and represent me as the only person guilty, etc. Yea, though he should as it were insult me, and say, he knew all this before, and that I was making work for repentance, etc. Though what I said concerning M.R. Whittlesey was only spoken in private, to a friend or two, and being partly overheard, was related to the rector, and by him extorted from my friends. Yet, seeing it was divulged as it made public, I was willing to confess my fault therein publicly. But I trust God will plead my cause. The next day he went to Derby, then to Sudbury, where he spent the Sabbath and speaks of some spiritual comfort, but complains much of unfixedness and wanderings of mind in religion. Monday, September 19th in the afternoon rode to Bethlehem, and there preached. Had some measure of assistance, both in prayer and preaching. I felt serious, kind, and tender towards all mankind, and longed that holiness might flourish more on earth. Tuesday, September 20th. Had thoughts of going forward on my journey to my Indians. But towards night was taken with a hard pain in my teeth, and shivering cold, and could not possibly recover a comfortable degree of warmth the whole night following. I continued very full of pain all night, and in the morning had a very hard fever, and pains almost over my whole body. I had a sense of the divine goodness in appointing this to be the place of my sickness, namely among my friends, who were very kind to me. I should probably have perished, if I had first got home to my own house in the wilderness, where I have none to converse with but the poor, rude, ignorant Indians. Here I saw was mercy in the midst of affliction. I continued thus, mostly confined to my bed, till Friday night, very full of pain most of the time, but through divine goodness not afraid of death. Then the extreme folly of those appeared to me, who put off their turning to God till a sick bed. Surely this is not a time proper to prepare for eternity. On Friday evening my pains went off somewhat suddenly. I was exceeding weak, and almost fainted, but was very comfortable the night following. These words, Psalm 118:17, I shall not die, but live, etc. I frequently revolved in my mind and thought we were to prize the continuation of life only on this account, that we may show forth God's goodness and works of grace. From this time he gradually recovered, and on the next Tuesday was so well as to be able to go forward on his journey homewards. But it was not till the Tuesday following that he reached Konamik, and seems, great part of this time, to have had a very deep and lively sense of the vanity and emptiness of all things here below, and of the reality, nearness, and vast importance of eternal things. Tuesday, October 4th. This day rode home to my own house and people. The poor Indians appeared very glad of my return. Found my house and all things in safety. I presently fell on my knees, and blessed God for my safe return, after a long and tedious journey, and a season of sickness in several places where I had been, and after I had been ill myself. God has renewed his kindness to me, in preserving me one journey more. I have taken many considerable journeys since this time last year, and yet God has never suffered one of my bones to be broken, or any distressing calamity to befall me, excepting the ill turn I had in my last journey. I have been often exposed to cold and hunger in the wilderness, where the comforts of life were not to be had. Have frequently been lost in the woods, and sometimes obliged to ride much of the night, and once lay out in the woods all night. Yet, blessed be God, he has preserved me. In his diary for the next 11 days, are great complaints of distance from God, spiritual pride, corruption, and exceeding vileness. He once says, his heart was so pressed with a sense of his pollution, that he could scarcely have the face and impudence as it then appeared to him to desire that God should not damn him forever. And at another time, he says, he had so little sense of God, or apprehension and relish of his glory and excellency, that it made him more disposed to kindness and tenderness towards those who are blind and ignorant of God and things divine and heavenly. Lord's Day, October 16th in the evening, God was pleased to give me a feeling sense of my own unworthiness, but through divine goodness such as tended to draw me to, rather than drive me from, God, it filled me with solemnity. I retired alone, having at this time a friend with me, and poured out my soul to God with much freedom, and yet in anguish, to find myself so unspeakably sinful and unworthy before a holy God, was now much resigned under God's dispensations towards me, though my trials had been very great, but thought whether I could be resigned, if God should let the French Indians come upon me, and deprive me of life, or carry me away captive, though I knew of no special reason then to propose this trial to myself, more than any other, and my soul seemed so far to rest and acquiesce in God, that the sting and terror of these things seemed in a great measure gone. Presently after I came to the Indians, whom I was teaching to sing some tunes that evening, I received the following letter from Stockbridge, by a messenger sent on the Sabbath on purpose, which made it appear of greater importance. Sir, just now we received advices from Colossian Stoddard, that there is the utmost danger of a rupture with France. He has received the same from His Excellency our Governor, ordering him to give notice to all the exposed places, that they may secure themselves the best they can against any sudden invasion. We thought best to send directly to Konamik, that you may take the prudentest measures for your safety that dwell there. I am, sir, etc. I thought, upon reading the contents, it came in a good season. For my heart seemed fixed on God, and therefore I was not much surprised. This news only made me more serious, and taught me that I must not please myself with any of the comforts of life which I had been preparing. Blessed be God, who gave me any intenseness and fervency this evening. Monday, October 17th. Had some rising hopes that God would arise and have mercy on Zion speedily. My heart is indeed refreshed when I have any prevailing hopes of Zion's prosperity. Oh, that I may see the glorious day when Zion shall become the joy of the whole earth. Truly there is nothing that I greatly value in this lower world. On Tuesday he rode to Stockbridge. Complains of being much diverted and having but little life. On Wednesday he expresses some solemn sense of divine things, and longing to be always doing for God with a godly frame of spirit. Thursday, October 20th. Had but little sense of divine things this day. alas, that so much of my precious time is spent with so little of God. Those are tedious days, wherein I have no spirituality. Friday, October 21st. Returned home to Connemeath, was glad to get alone in my little cottage, and to cry to that God who seeth in secret, and is present in a wilderness. Saturday, October 22nd. Had but little sensible communion with God. This world is a dark, cloudy mansion. Oh, when will the sun of righteousness shine on my soul without intermission? Lord's Day, October 23rd. In the morning I had a little dawn of comfort arising from hopes of seeing glorious days in the Church of God, was enabled to pray for such a glorious day with some courage and strength of hope. In the forenoon treated on the glories of heaven, etc. In the afternoon, on the miseries of hell, and the danger of going there. Had some freedom and warmth, both parts of the day. And my people were very attentive. In the evening two or three came to me under concern for their souls, to whom I was enabled to discourse closely, and with some earnestness and desire. Oh, that God would be merciful to their poor souls! He seems, through the whole of this week, to have been greatly engaged to fill up every inch of time in the service of God, and to have been most diligently employed in study, prayer, and instructing the Indians, and from time to time expresses longings of soul after God, and the advancement of His kingdom, and spiritual comfort and refreshment. Lord's Day, October 30th. In the morning I enjoyed some fixedness of soul in prayer, which was indeed sweet and desirable. Was enabled to leave myself with God, and to acquiesce in Him. At noon my soul was refreshed with reading Rev. 3 more especially Rev. 3 11, 12, 11th and 12th verses. Oh, my soul longed for that blessed day, when I should dwell in the temple of God, and go no more out of His immediate presence. Monday, October 31st. Rode to Kinderhook, about 15 miles from my place. While riding I felt some divine sweetness in the thoughts of being a pillar in the temple of God in the upper world, and being no more deprived of His blessed presence, and the sense of His favor, which is better than life. My soul was so lifted up to God, that I could pour out my desires to Him, for more grace and further degrees of sanctification, with abundant freedom. Oh, I longed to be more abundantly prepared for that blessedness, with which I was then in some measure refreshed. Returned home in the evening, but took an extremely bad cold by riding in the night. Tuesday, November 1st. Was very much disordered in body, and sometimes full of pain in my face and teeth. Was not able to study much, and had not much spiritual comfort. Alas! When God is withdrawn, all is gone. Had some sweet thoughts, which I could not but write down, on the design, nature, and end of Christianity. Wednesday, November 2nd. Was still more indisposed in body, and in much pain most of the day. I had not much comfort. Was scarcely able to study at all. And still entirely alone in the wilderness. But blessed be the Lord, I am not exposed in the open air. I have a house, and many of the comforts of life to support me. I have learned in a measure, that all good things relating both to time and eternity come from God. In the evening I had some degree of quickening in prayer. I think God gave me some sense of His presence. Thursday, November 3rd. Spent this day in secret fasting and prayer, from morning till night. Early in the morning I had some small degree of assistance in prayer. Afterwards read the story of Elijah the prophet, 1 Kings 17, 18 chapters, and also 2 Kings 2 and 4 chapters. My soul was much moved, observing the faith, zeal, and power of that holy man. How he wrestled with God in prayer, etc. My soul then cried with Elisha, "Where is the Lord God of Elijah?" Oh, I long for more faith. My soul breathed after God, and pleaded with Him, that a double portion of that Spirit, which was given to Elijah, might rest on me. And that which was divinely refreshing and strengthening to my soul was, I saw that God is the same that He was in the days of Elijah. Was enabled to wrestle with God by prayer, in a more affectionate, fervent, humble, intense, and importunate manner, than I have for many months past. Nothing seemed too hard for God to perform. Nothing too great for me to hope for from Him. I had for many months entirely lost all hopes of being made instrumental of doing any special service for God in the world. It has appeared entirely impossible that one so black and vile should be thus employed for God. But at this time God was pleased to revive this hope. Afterwards read the third chapter of Exodus and on to the 20th, and saw more of the glory and majesty of God discovered in those chapters than ever I had seen before. Frequently in the meantime falling on my knees, and crying to God for the faith of Moses, and for a manifestation of the divine glory. Especially the third and fourth, and part of the 14th and 15th chapters, were unspeakably sweet to my soul blessed God, that he had shown himself so gracious to his servants of old. The 15th chapter seemed to be the very language which my soul uttered to God in the season of my first spiritual comfort, when I had just got through the Red Sea, by a way that I had no expectation of. Oh, how my soul then rejoiced in God! And now those things came fresh and lively to my mind. Now my soul blessed God afresh, that he had opened that unthought of way to deliver me from the fear of the Egyptians, when I almost despaired of life. Afterwards read the story of Abraham's pilgrimage in the land of Canaan. My soul was melted, in observing his faith, but he leaned on God. How he communed with God, and what a stranger he was here in the world. After that, read the story of Joseph's sufferings, and God's goodness to him. Blessed God for these examples of faith and patience. My soul was ardent in prayer, was enabled to wrestle ardently for myself, for Christian friends, and for the Church of God. And felt more desire to see the power of God in the conversion of souls, than I have done for a long season. Blessed be God for this season of fasting and prayer. May his goodness always abide with me, and draw my soul to him. Thursday, November 4th. Road to Kinderhook went quite to Hudson's River, about 20 miles from my house. Performed some business, and returned home in the evening to my own house. I had rather ride hard and fatigue myself, to get home, than to spend the evening and night amongst those who have no regard for God. The two next days he was very ill, and full of pain, probably through his riding in the night after a fatiguing day's journey on Thursday. But yet seems to have been diligent in business. Monday, November 7th. This morning the Lord afforded me some special assistance in prayer. My mind was solemn, fixed, affectionate, and ardent in desires after holiness. Felt full of tenderness and love. And my affections seemed to be dissolved into kindness in the evening. I enjoyed the same comfortable assistance in prayer as in the morning. My soul longed after God, and cried to him with a filial freedom, reverence, and boldness. Oh, that I might be entirely consecrated and devoted to God! The two next days he complains of bodily illness and pain, but much more of spiritual barrenness and unprofitableness. Thursday, November 10th. Spent this day in fasting and prayer alone. In the morning was very dull and lifeless, melancholy and discouraged. But after some time, while reading 2 Kings 19, my soul was moved and affected. Especially reading verse 14, and onward. I saw there was no other way for the afflicted children of God to take, but to go to God with all their sorrows. Hezekiah, in his great distress, went and spread his complaint before the Lord. I was then enabled to see the mighty power of God, and my extreme need of that power. Was enabled to cry to him affectionately and ardently for his power and grace to be exercised towards me. Afterwards read the story of David's trials, and observe the course he took under them, how he strengthened his hands in God. Whereby my soul was carried out after God, enabled to cry to him, and rely upon him, and felt strong in the Lord. Was afterwards refreshed, observing the blessed temper that was wrought on David by his trials. All bitterness and desire of revenge seemed wholly taken away, so that he mourned for the death of his enemies. 2 Samuel 1:17 and 4:9, Adphian. Was enabled to bless God, that he had given me something of this divine temper, that my soul freely forgives and heartily loves my enemies. It appears by his diary for the remaining part of this week, and for the two following weeks, that great part of the time he was very ill, and full of pain. And yet obliged, through his circumstances, in this ill state of body, to be at great fatigues, in labor, and traveling day and night, and to expose himself in stormy and severe seasons. He from time to time, within this space, speaks of outgoings of soul after God. His heart strengthen in God. Seasons of divine sweetness and comfort. His heart affected with gratitude for mercies, etc. And yet there are many complaints of lifelessness, weakness of grace, distance from God, and great unprofitableness. But still there appear a constant care from day to day, not to lose time, but to improve it all for God.
Stillwater's Revival Books is now located at PuritanDownloads.com. It's your worldwide online Reformation home for the very best in free and discounted classic and contemporary Puritan and Reformed books, MP3s, and videos. For much more information on the Puritans and Reformers, including the best free and discounted classic and contemporary books, MP3s, digital downloads, and videos, please visit Stillwater's Revival Books at PuritanDownloads.com. Stillwater's Revival Books also publishes the Puritan Hard Drive, the most powerful and practical Christian study tool ever produced. All thanks and glory be to the mercy, grace, and love of the Lord Jesus Christ for this remarkable and wonderful new Christian study tool. The Puritan Hard Drive contains over 12,500 of the best Reformation books, MP3s, and videos ever gathered onto one portable Christian study tool. An extraordinary collection of Puritan, Protestant, Calvinistic, Presbyterian, Covenanter, and Reformed Baptist resources. It's fully upgradable and it's small enough to fit in your pocket. The Puritan Hard Drive combines an embedded database containing many millions of records with the most amazing and extraordinary custom Christian search and research software ever created. The Puritan Hard Drive has been produced to assist you in the fascinating and exhilarating spiritual, intellectual, familial, ecclesiastical, and societal adventure that is living the Christian life. It has been specifically designed so that you might more faithfully know, serve, and love the Lord Jesus Christ, as well as to help you to do all you can to bring glory to His great name. If you want to love God with all your heart, soul, strength, and mind, then the Puritan Hard Drive is for you. Visit PuritanDownloads.com today for much more information on the Puritan Hard Drive and to take advantage of all the free and discounted Reformation and Puritan books, MP3s, and videos that we offer at Stillwater's Revival Books.